if we will stand in the gap for our fellow believers, for our communities, for this nation, for our families, for anything at all, as long as we are in between these walls, righteousness is key. The effective, fervent prayer of the righteous man, the Bible says, has so much power.
Life is a journey, and as in every journey, you need a roadmap. Today, on Your Roadmap to Success, you will receive detailed instructions on how to navigate through life successfully. Welcome to Your Roadmap to Success with author and teacher, Neil Achampong.
Please pick up your Bibles. Let's just search the Word of God briefly, and I will let you loose. We're going to go back to the book of Acts this morning, chapter 8, today. Acts chapter 8, we have understood that the book of Acts is not a prescription, but it is a description. And I'll be using as a subject this morning, preach the Word wherever you are. Say that with me. You are not telling someone, you're telling yourself. I will preach the word where? Many believers today think that you have to be a pastor to preach. That's not true. Every single one of us is called to preach. I said every single one of us is what? So when anybody senses that urgency, sometimes they are looking for a title. You're wasting time. You don't need one. In fact, when you go to certain places, I normally don't tell them I'm a pastor because they will reject anything you say. I come from an angle like every one of them. And somewhere in the middle of it, they realize, no, he's got to be something else. This is who we need to be. God has called us to preach his word wherever we are. I said wherever we are. Amen. And I pray that today we will understand that truth. Our text this morning, the book of Acts chapter 8, please turn there. We'll read the first four verses. Our text this morning deals with a very confusing time in the lives of the church. That was the early church. It was at a time when they were being persecuted and things looked very bad. Before this time, Jesus has given them a command, something they ought to do. In the book of Matthew chapter 28, Jesus tells them a few things they have to do. In verse 19, he says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy One Spirit. So Jesus gave them a command. Now, look at Mark chapter 16. Look at the 15th verse. He said to them, this is Jesus speaking, go into all the world and do what? Go into all the world and, come on, talk to me. Go into all the world and preach. Preach. Everybody say preach. Raise your right hand. Say this after me. I am a preacher. From today, I will fulfill my mandate. Amen. Don't wait for a title. You are wasting time. It's time to preach where? You must what? Wherever I am. We'll come to what you're supposed to be saying. Amen. But Jesus now commands the disciples, you cannot start this work until the Holy Spirit, what? Comes upon you. This is what he told the early church. Look at Acts chapter 1. Look at verse 8. Please read with me. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So he's saying, go into all the well, but begin from Jerusalem, because that's the city they were in. Then he says, move into Judea, which is the region, or for example, the county they were in. Then he says, go into Samaria. The people across, you don't want to have anything to do with. Go to them and tell them about me. And then he says, to the ends of what? The earth. But we find that the early church didn't do that. What did the early church do? What did the early church do? They stayed in Jerusalem. That's the way believers are. We like just being with ourselves. We don't want to go. And whenever you do that, God will be forced to scatter you. He wants us to go everywhere, declaring his word. Now, in Acts chapter 7, which is last week's lesson, you all remember that they had just what? Killed Philip, right? Because they stayed in Jerusalem, the religious establishment kept focusing on them. And the Bible says they began to threaten them. Don't talk about Jesus. Then they started beating them. And then they started putting them in prison. Then there were more beatings. And then last week we found out that murder had come into the center of it. So they were dead serious that they wanted to make sure these people were not going to do what they were supposed what to do. On the day Philip was murdered, on that same day, is where our lesson begins. So Acts chapter 8, look there. Let's read together. Starting from verse 1, Acts chapter 8. And Saul approved their killing him. On that day, a great persecution broke out. What broke out? A great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Isn't that interesting? They were not ready to go, but God was going to force them. Sometimes the troubles we have is simply because we've decided what God wants, we don't want. And he wants it, so he will make sure you do it. Amen. Now, it is very easy to read this verse and then, oh yeah, there was a persecution. No, let's take our time and understand something. How many of you remember a few weeks back when we began that I taught you that most of the people who were gathered on the day of Pentecost are originally Jews who came from 17 different nations. So, for example, most of you who have given birth to your children in this place, sometimes they have an orientation from home. Most of you go home for festivals, don't you? So Pentecost was a festival. And most of them had gone in. Then they experienced the power of God, gave their lives to Christ, and they stayed. And they heard that Jesus was coming. So obviously, who is going to live? Nobody went home. They stayed. This is why when you read the book of Acts, you should never make it a prescription. So the Bible tells us, and they met every day. Be honest. How can you meet every day? They met every day because they have nowhere to go. They were waiting for Jesus to come. So you cannot use that as a prescription for us that we should meet every day. Even only one day, Sunday. We don't see you. Then let alone say every day. So as these people met, the Bible says they were increasing in number. Things were taking place. And there are many things that was going on. But on this day, after the beatings and the imprisonment and the threats and the murder, that day, the Bible says a great persecution. Not ordinary persecution, but what? Great. Great persecution. I wanted you to pay attention to that. And the Bible says everybody was scattered. They were scattered, every single one of them, except the apostles. So please notice who and who were scattered. Everybody else except the apostles. Throughout the region of Judea and Samaria. What I wanted to see is that these people have stayed in town for a while. They came from different places. So at this point, there was no money. Can you see the picture? Then the persecution occurs. Then they are scattered. How did they get back home? Pay attention. There's a picture I'm trying to paint. How did they get back home? It's going to be difficult. It means some of them maybe still have money that was shared when Barnabas brought money in, and Ananias and Sapphira also brought theirs in, right? So maybe some of them have still kept some money so they can go back home. But there are others who end up landing at places where they have not destined to be. Are you following the picture? And the scripture says they were scattered throughout. Let's look at verse 2. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. Everybody say mourned deeply. I want to stress something. Sometimes people make it look like when you are grieving, it's as if you are doing something unspiritual. But the Bible says godly men. Not some ordinary men. Godly what? Men. They mourned deeply for Stephen, and then they buried him. But after the burial, they have to figure out where they have to hide. The truth is, you couldn't hide because they're after them. Verse 3, let's pick it up. But Saul began to destroy the church. Saul began to do what? Underline the word destroy. I want you to see the predicament they were in. There was great persecution. They were scattered. All the people who were scattering were running for their lives. Some could not go back to their place of origin because by this time, their money was done. Are you seeing the picture? Then the scripture says Paul was what? Saul was destroying the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women. Both what? And what did he do? He put them in prison. Amen. The persecution simply scattered the people. And I want you to see two things that will be happening. There will be some who could have gone home. And I'm sure when they got back home, their people will ask, "Child, you left about so many months. What happened?" Let me tell you, when we went for the festival, we saw this dude. He's called Peter. He had been with Jesus. And the guys did incredible miracles, but they told us Jesus was coming. You all remember Acts 1, verse 10 and 11, when the angel told the people, the same Jesus you see go up will come back, what? The same way. So we chose to stick around because if Jesus, this powerful guy is coming, then child, let's stay. Are you guys following me? But we've been threatened. We've been put in prison. Stuff is happening. And now they kill Philip and they are coming. They are dragging us from house to house. So we had to kaput. Some went back to their place of origin. But I believe there were many who were stranded everywhere. But the scripture says wherever they went, they preached the word. Wherever they went, they did what? They preached the word. Let's draw some lessons from this. Number one, please write it down, that every believer in Christ must preach the word wherever you are. Maybe you work for the government. Preach the word there. Wherever you are. You know how sometimes we like where we are, and then sometimes we don't like where we are. But whether you like where you are because you are like those who could afford it, so they went back home. Or you are at a place where you don't want because they did not have money to go back home. They had to just run somewhere and hide. Wherever you find yourself, you must learn to preach the word. I said you must learn to do what? Now let's scale down the meaning of that word preach. It comes from a Greek word kerusso. The word kerusso, as it is written over there, is just a transliteration of the actual Greek pronunciation of the word. And it means to publish or to proclaim openly something that has already been done. What is it that was done? Jesus came and he died. The Holy Spirit had come to empower us. He says, go and publicly what? Proclaim. Publish it. Let people know. Don't hide, child of God. Instead of spending lots and lots of your time putting pictures of yourself online just to get likes, Stop that and put Jesus on your page. Aren't you happy your pastor likes you? So stop looking for other people's likes. I pray for you every day. Based on my shepherds, I pray for you every day. I come here Sunday morning, preach God's word to you out of my heart. What kind of love are you looking for again? You know how sometimes some of the people on social media are so mean? They look at you, everybody says, oh, that's cute, that's cute, that's cute. All of a sudden, somebody shows up in the middle. Which part of that is cute? And interestingly, 20 people may have said you're cute. Just that one person who said, look at his nose. You get focused on that. Has it ever happened to you? May God bring us to that place where we publish and proclaim openly what Jesus has done for us. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. So every believer must preach wherever you find what? Yourself. You must preach, proclaim. 1 Peter 2, 9, the Bible says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare. Everybody say declare. That is what you're supposed to do. Declare. Wherever you are, declare that Jesus is Lord. That's what you're called for. Preach the word wherever you are. If I show up at your workplace and they want me to pray instead of you, something is not right by the way you are living at a place. They should be able to ask you to do the prayer. Amen. God wants us to live for him. You can preach through spoken words. You can preach through music. You can preach through drama, written words. Let me illustrate something. Tell me, which musician is popular? I'm talking about both secular and gospel. Somebody says, okay, I know if I leave you guys, you give me all kinds of names. But let's focus on one. I'm going to use one who is dead. Suppose I was here and Mickey J was right there. You know Mickey J? Mickey J said, Jesus is Lord. And I said, Jesus is Lord. Who do you think people will listen to? Mickey J may not know much of scripture, may have never had any doctor in theology like me, but people will listen to him. Why? Because he has influence. Because music carries influence. Sometimes there are songs you sing, you tap your foot to, you move your body with. Because music has a way of reaching people. Amen. So I think it's time to make one yourself. Don't do it album. Make it because you want to preach. I don't know why Christians can't be. Everything we do, we want to attach money to it. And today when you die, this money is not going with you. Let's pay attention to what is important. I'm not saying don't go after money. We need money. I said we need what? Money. Money. Real money. We can preach through spoken words. That's what I'm doing now. We can preach through music. If you can sing, sing. Get your kids with you. Grab some karaoke machines in the streets on September 9th. Show up and start singing. It would amaze you. People will start coming close. Give them tracks and they will say, I don't want that. There is something that pulls people. Even tyrants. When you start playing certain music, I was reading a Time magazine and they were talking about this guy in North Korea, that there's one particular music when you sing, the guy just gets up from his seat and he moves his body. Music has a way. Some of us, our timing with music is spiritually challenged. But as for me, I go by this one simple mantra: let everything that has breath. He didn't say the people who can sing anything. Once I can breathe, I'm going to do it. Amen. Use a medium of communication that you are good at and reach souls for the kingdom. Preach wherever you are. Amen. The second lesson I want us to learn is that wherever you are, you can influence things and people in two realms, in the seen and unseen. Wherever you are, as a believer, you can influence things and people in two realms. You can influence them physically, that is in the realm of the seen, or you can influence them spiritually in the realm of the unseen. Did you copy that? Just so you know that a lot of things you see physically is influenced in the spirit world. And you and I, we need to start thinking about how to influence things spiritually. Influencing people and things in the unseen. How many of you believe that there's a lot of things you see physically that is being pushed spiritually? Many, many years ago, I remember my father, when he was gradually coming back home, and I had gone to visit, and this man would go out drink, and he comes back home. You know how in Africa we have a gutter in front of the house, right? These days, I think they are covered. Back then, they were opened. Some still open. God help us. And he was coming, and then my mom said, I command those legs to fall into the gutter. Now, you are saying no. From that day when that man fell in, that was it. He never drank again. Her focus was that those legs will be broken, so you will not walk into a bar to drink. The breaking of the leg was physical, but what caused it was in the unseen realm. I believe that there are things we can influence today if the church understands our authority and power in the unseen realm. Some people have been made, they can talk. That is their gift. Amen. When they are talking, let them talk. But some people are also gifted to do it spiritually. And those who have to do it spiritually get to work. You can influence things spiritually. I remember sharing with you that when we were getting the permit finally, it's called the occupancy permit, one of the people who came made us understand you are not getting the permit today because they don't like this, they don't like that, they don't like that, they don't like that. The contractor was tired, looked at me and said, I cannot believe this. And then it hit me, ran to the field, grabbed a stick, cane the wall, and command this woman to sign the paper. If you were there, you would say, Pastor, you are stupid. No, because I understand that not everything in the natural is controlled naturally. Most of the things in the natural realm are controlled, well, spiritually. In fact, the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, I think verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds, the one we see, were made by things we do not see. So he is telling you that the raw materials for this world, this earth on which we live, is in the spirit realm. So I grabbed the stick and I went down there. I came and I hit the wall. Boom, 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 boom. And I said, you will sign. She heard me. He said, Pastor, what did you say? I said, you will sign. And I know my circumstance. Don't you think he's going to tell me this man, something is going through his head? He said, okay, you know what? Come on, follow me. Most of the issue is in the kitchen. So we went to the kitchen. He said, take pen and paper, write. I want this. I want that. I want that. I want that. Then we walked through a few places and she came and said, you know what? Between me and you, if you can fix this, you open. I said, I can't fix this today. He said, okay, how about I sign the paper and you promise you will fix. I said, done. Sign the paper. Something has happened to her spiritually. How many of you believe that this LGBT stuff is being perpetrated from the spirit world? Stop fighting with ordinary people, because the ordinary people are only a representation. I believe there are teachers in the school system who are placed there by demonic powers to project stuff. The group I am working with, every day, let's go do lawsuit. I said, people, you are ordinary people, so do lawsuit. I want to start gathering people to pray in leaps and bounds, because it must be affected spiritually. Whilst we are trying to affect things spiritually, that's when Christians are fighting over Banku and Fufu. We have the ability to influence things and people in how many realms? In how many realms? So after you pray that God will give us godly people to rule, do the other influential thing. Vote right. Don't go say that we prayed. It will just happen. No. God wants you to do both. I said God wants you to do? On September 13th, we are gathering 1,000 people around the school board building. And we are praying until people get uneasy and start changing policies. You can influence things, what? Spiritually. I want senators to wake up in the morning and say, today I am announcing that I am resigning effective immediately, because I think I am tired by going on. Because we will pray and decree spiritual tiredness. Really quick, three things as to how we can influence, and I'll close. Jude chapter 1. Jude is just one chapter. How do I influence the realm of the seen? How do I influence the realm of the seen? Jude 1:23. Please, if you can read with me from the screen, I will be very much appreciative. Jude is the book before Revelation. Jude 1:23. He said, let's read together, go. Save some by snatching them as from the very flames of hell itself. As for others, help them to find the Lord by being kind to them. But be careful that you yourselves aren't pulled along into their sins. Hate every trace of their sin while being merciful to the sinner. Did you hear that? Be what? Be merciful. This is why I do not believe that if all we do is to feed people, and then when we are done, we say that's it. We represent the hands of Jesus. We missed it. We feed you, so I gain the authority to speak to you. Then after that, I tell you about Jesus, who made it possible to have the money to feed you. This is why I don't agree with some of these organizations. All we have to do is to feed people. No, it is true. You can't just go around just praying for people who are hungry too. You must balance it. He said, snatch them as if you are snatching them out of hell itself. By being kind. By being what? By being kind. Have you seen a neighbor or a coworker who struggles, and maybe there are things you can spare? We must learn to influence the realm of the physical by literally snatching people. When you see people going and walking into sin, don't stand there and say it's a shame. Do something about it.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555. or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.